My name is Corey Johnson, one of the teaching pastors here at Shelter Rock Church, and we're so excited that you're here with us this morning. All right, I have a fan already. Okay, good. I was telling my daughter coming in this morning that, you know, this week has felt a little bit off. Have you ever just felt off? Yeah, that was this week for me. So I want to ask for your prayers, you know, throughout the service. Is that okay? Thank you. Thank you. Before we get into the message this morning, and before we start, could we just bow our heads in prayer? Lord, we don't take this moment lightly of getting into your word. We appreciate, God, the power that resides in your word. And so, God, we ask that you will open us up this morning, oh Father God, for the implantation of your word. But above all, God, do the transformative work that only you can do. Father God, we ask that as we surrender ourselves to your word this morning, that your spirit will truly change our hearts and our minds and shape us into the image of your son. Father God, take the words that I should say, prepare the ears of your people here this morning, so that in the combination of the two, in the intersection of the two, transformation will occur. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts this morning, God, as we tell you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Over the past several weeks, we've been in this teaching series, Nothing But the Blood. And in one of the first sessions, we talked about being redeemed by the blood. And I think Pastor Greg expanded what that means, you know, being purchased by the blood. Afterwards, we look at this notion of being justified by the blood, you know, looking at yourself as just if I had never sinned. And then we talked about being cleansed by the blood and things of that nature. And so this morning we want to talk about, being brought near by the blood. And if it's one thing that this COVID pandemic has revealed to us or has made known to us, is our need for authentic community. I don't know about you, but this isolation and the social distancing, you know, it's weird when you're going for a hug and you're like, oops, oh, my bad. it's kind of weird, right? And for some of us, this has hit us at our core. This has hit us emotionally, some of us mentally. You know, we struggle with this because we really want to be in community. We really want to be in contact with those around us and for those of us that we love. You know, it's interesting. This week, I was eavesdropping, but I overheard the story of a mother who was just lamenting over the fact that her child had COVID-19, a teenager, but she was just saying how she had to be wearing a mask in the house, and whenever she brought dinner to him, she had to like put it at the door and he would open up and just, you know, pull it in. And, you know, she was just, you know, you could hear the pain in her voice about her being separated from her child, right? And for some of us, it's been painful being separated from our families and things of that nature. But as painful as that experience is, and as painful as our natural separations are, I have to believe that it is more painful and it hits us on a deeper level when we're separated from God. When we're separated from God. The Bible tells us our sin has separated us from God. In other words, it has put up a wall of division between us and God. And at our deepest core, we're yearning, we're seeking for that reconnection with him. St. Augustine, a 5th century monk, a bishop, he said something to this effect. He says, our heart is restless until it finds its rest in you. One more time. Our heart is restless until it finds its rest in you. And so the question is, if our hearts are yearning, if we're seeking for that deep connection, if we're seeking for that deep relationship with God, how can I have that if I'm separated from him? In other words, if I'm thirsty and my body needs water, how can I get to water if I'm separated from water? How can I get to the very thing that my soul needs if I'm separated from it? And so that's the essence of what we're going to talk about this morning. But before we deal with that, can we look at the text? Can we get into the Word? If you have your Bibles handy, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to be reading from verse 11 to verse 13. It says here, "Therefore, remember that formerly you are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by hands." Let's pause here for a minute. What Paul is getting at here is that here are the Jewish people who pride themselves in being circumcised. They're calling another set of people the uncircumcised. And Paul puts a little jab in, and he says, which is made in the body by hands. Because Paul understands that a real Jew is someone who is circumcised in the heart, not only in the flesh. Hello? So let's continue to verse 12. He says, Remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And that's what we want to talk about this morning, being brought near by the blood of Christ. You know, there are some of us in this room, when it comes to our life and our history, we have a tendency to want to forget about our past, right? There are some things that we've experienced. There's some painful situations that we've been through. It's been so painful. It's been so horrific that we just want to forget about it. You know, that story that keeps coming up, that story that you keep rehearsing in your mind, that story that keeps coming up at Thanksgiving, that story that keeps coming up every time the family gets together, that embarrassing story, you just want to forget about it. But here Paul is commissioning us, and he's encouraging us to remember. Because quite often, in order for us to gain wisdom in the present, we have to remember the past. Yes? Quite often, it's not until we look back over our lives, it's not until we look back over our history that we're able to enjoy the here and the now and look forward with hope. And so as much as we want to forget about the past, there is some wisdom to be gained from remembering. Amen? And so this morning, the first thing that we want to do is that we want to do what Paul says. He says, we want to remember our plight. Before we can talk about being drawn near to God, we want to remember our plight, that we were once far from God. We were once distant from Him. And it says here in the text, it says, "Therefore, remember that formerly you are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision." And what Paul is talking about here is that the Jewish people and the Gentile people, when they came in contact with each other, there was always some kind of a horizontal separation between them. And the nature of that separation was by virtue of one's birth. In other words, because one was not born into the family of Jews, you were considered a Gentile, an outcast by nature of your birth. And this is critical for us to understand, because quite often when we start to separate and when we start to view people from a human perspective, we start to build up walls of separation. We start to build up layers of separation that is only based on external qualities and not based on the image of God that is on the inside. And when we do that, it's a very dangerous thing. When we can only see each other as looking a certain way, or speaking a certain way, or who has eyes that look or shape a certain way, that's a very dangerous place. Number one, it's empty. Why? Because whatever human value, it can change. I can value you being rich today, and tomorrow you lose it all, and what about that value? That's gone. It can change. You can be in one social class today and another social class tomorrow. It can change. So there's a certain emptiness that comes with it. But not only that, there's a certain danger that comes with it. Because whenever we start to divide ourselves, there's a sense in which we start to develop pride in our hearts that, oh, you know what, I'm better than you. Or I'm better than that person. Or look at them. That's them, but I am better than everyone else. And that can build up pride in us so much so that we would be willing to hurt someone else. And that's always the essence of racism. It's always the essence of classism, isn't it? This becoming overly proud of my individuality. I am different than that person, therefore I am better than that person. And the horrific acts that we see perpetrated against the Asian community in Atlanta this week is evidence of that. And as Pastor Greg said, this is not anything new. It's not anything new to that community. It's not anything new to another community. It's something that we all face at different levels and at different times in our lives. Therefore, when it comes to being a child of God, this horizontal separation ought not to be there. Amen? But not only that, Paul speaks of a vertical separation. He says here that in verse 12, he says, remember that at that time you were separated from Christ. In other words, if you go back to Ephesians chapter 2 and you look at verse 1, Paul says that we were spiritually dead. When we were born, we were spiritually dead on arrival. In other words, we had no connection with God when we were born. We were separated from him from birth. It says you were separated from Christ. Look at all those words. Excluded from the citizenship of Israel and foreigners to the covenant of promise, without hope and without God. We were hopeless because we were distant from him. And the thing about this is that there was nothing that we could do within ourselves to bridge that gap. There was nothing that we could do to earn our way into God's presence. There was nothing that we could do to force our way into his presence. No, something had to be done on our behalf. Paul speaks about a horizontal separation between me and you by virtue of our birth, by virtue of our ethnicity, by virtue of our nationality. And he also speaks of a vertical separation between God and man by virtue of our sin. But as I was studying this week, it was interesting. I looked at even the temple, which was around at the time. And built into the design of the temple was these layers of separation. See, this is a model of the temple. And if you look at where the red arrow is, and you look at where the star is where the holies of holies is. That was the place where God's presence dwelt. But the red arrow, because we were Gentiles, that's as far as we could go. In fact, the way that the temple was designed, there were guards situated all around the temple so as to enforce and to make sure that if you are a Gentile, you will go no further than those golden gates. And as you look at the design of the temple, every step you go up, it's another layer of holiness, if you will. So the Gentiles, they had to stay on the outer courts. And then if you were a woman, if you were a Jewish woman, you could go beyond that golden gate. And if you were a man, you could go up the steps. And there were the courts of the women, the courts of the men. There were the courts of the priests. And then in the innermost place was where only the high priest could go. Layers of separation. Layers of separation. And this was the condition that we were in. But I'm so glad that when I look back at my past, I can see that, you know what, as bad as it was, as far as I was from God, I'm so thankful that when I look at my here and now, I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ did something on my behalf. In verse 13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off, you have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. You see, in Jesus, we can rejoice in our privilege. We can rejoice in our privilege. Now, when you look at this idea of privilege, we can look at privilege from a snobby point of view, can't we? You know, oh, that person is privileged, and look at them. They're so, I want to be like them when I grow up. But when you look at privilege from that perspective, the only way that you can have pride in your heart about your privilege is if you have earned that by yourself. Is if you have pulled yourself up by your own bootstraps. You have put the effort in. You have worked hard. You have gone to school. And you have gotten to a certain level in life. And you can say, now, look at my privilege. And you feel proud about it. But when we're talking about our privilege in God, when we're talking about our privilege in Christ, we have to realize that there was nothing that we could do, as I said before, to earn your way into God's presence, to earn your way into God's kingdom. No, someone else had to do something on your behalf. Jesus Christ had to die on your behalf so that you could be brought near to Him. And so when we think about our privilege, no, it's not that pride swells up in us. No, we become humble because we understand that based on where I was and based on where I am right now, I had nothing to do with it. And so it humbles me. It humbles me. I love what Paul says here, but now in Christ. He doesn't say now in Corey or now in Rob or now in Pablo. No, he says now in Christ. Right? It's a positional thing. Now that we are in Christ, we have access to God's presence. Now that we are in Christ, we can draw near to God. Look at what he says. You who once afar off, you have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. How many of us are happy that we're near this morning? Amen? We are near. And so when I think about this idea of being brought near, you know, I have three kids, and when they were young, I used to carry them in my arms, and you know what, you who have kids, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you would bring them everywhere. And so as they continue to grow, you know, they put on some weight, they have their own mind, they have their own attitude. And so now when you're trying to bring them somewhere, you actually have to drag them with you, right? Right? But the idea here that Paul says when he says, you have been brought near, he's not talking about you dragging someone. He's talking about carrying someone. You have been brought near to God. This is nothing you did. No, this is all what Jesus did on your behalf. Amen? So, as we think about this notion of being brought near to Christ, or being brought near to God by the blood of Christ, there are two implications. There are two results. There are two things that flows out of this. And the first is that we have a new identity. The first is that what? We have a new identity. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, he says here, consequently, look at the words, he says, consequently, as a result of being brought near by the blood of Jesus, look at what he says, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens. He's saying to you this morning that before you were a foreigner, and when you think about someone being a foreigner and an alien, he's talking about someone who is far, someone who has no rights, someone who has no access to the privilege of citizenship. What Paul is saying is, because of the blood of Jesus, your status has changed. You have a new identity. Amen, somebody? And this is something that as believers, I believe that we need to rest in. Because I think that the thing that plagues us as believers is that we wrestle with who we are on a regular basis. When we look at culture and society and them defining what we ought to be and how we ought to look and how we ought to feel, it can be confusing. And the question is, where do you go to when you have questions? Where do you go to when you have doubts? May I suggest to you that you go to God. You have a new identity. When you become a child of God, he pulls away all the facades. He pulls away all the layers. He pulls away everything that is covering up and has muddied his image. And he stamps you as his own. I don't know about you, but when you have a new identity, it changes the way you view yourself and the way you view people. Oh, you don't want to talk to me this morning. It's all right. When I have a new identity, I'm not insecure about myself anymore. When I have a new identity, I don't see you as black. I just don't see you as white. I just don't see you as Asian. I just don't see you as short. I just don't see you as disabled. No, I see you with God's image stamped on you. And therefore, the way I treat you is different. Hello. See, not only does our identity change the way we view people, but our identity informs who we turn to when we have a problem. Let me say that one more time. Our identity informs who we go to when we have a problem. Let me illustrate it this way. Pastor Greg gave away my thunder, but it's all right. I love cars, you know, and one of my favorite cars is BMW, right? You know, Pastor Greg loves cookies. If you want to send him cookies for Easter, fine. Chocolate, okay, good. You can send me a BMW. I'll take it. But when you look at a car, after the car is manufactured and after the car is designed and after the car finishes the assembly process and it passes the qualification process and the quality control process, the manufacturer takes an emblem and it stamps it on it. You are certified. BMW. Now, if I own a BMW and there is something wrong with it, I would not take my BMW to a Honda dealer. A Honda dealer will look at you like, you crazy, what you doing here? Right? Because a BMW dealer, they have gone to training, and they know all the specification of the car. They know how it's supposed to hum. They know how it's supposed to rev. They know, you know, how to tune it. That's what they are familiar with. And conversely, you would never take a Honda to a BMW dealer. Like, get out of here with that. I drive a Honda, so, you know. Get out of here with that. Right? Because, right? If you have a BMW, you take it to a BMW dealer. If you have a Honda, you take it to a Honda dealer because the manufacturer knows its product. See, we as children of God, when God stamps his image on us, guess what? He is our manufacturer. And therefore, if there is something wrong with me, if I'm confused about my purpose, if I'm confused about my destiny, if I'm confused about who I am supposed to be, I don't turn to Pablo. I don't turn to Rob. I don't turn to Greg. No, I turn to God because he is the manufacturer. Oh, you don't want to talk to me this morning. I have his stamp. I have his image. And therefore, if there's something going on the inside, I turn to him because he is the one who built the product. Amen, somebody. Amen. So I have a new identity. It changes the way I view people, changes the way I view myself, and it informs who I go to when I'm struggling. Amen. But not only that, look at the word of verse 19. It says that we are members of God's household. In other words, we have or we belong to a new family. I don't know about you, but that's good news. You know, some of us, we have family members. Keep your head straight, please. Don't look to the left or look to the right. We have family members who have not always been kind to us. Look, keep your head forward, please. Yes, we have people around us that have hurt us. We have people around us who have disappointed us. May I suggest to you that, yes, even though we are in the family of God, we're going to experience some of that too. But guess what? This is a place where you belong. This is a place where God fits you. You're not a misfit. No, but there's a specific place that God has for you. There's a specific thing that God has for you to do in the family of God. You belong to the family of God. It's an authentic community. And any community that is authentic is going to challenge you. Ooh. No. What did you say? No, that's not according to scripture. What? It's going to challenge you. Because the purpose is to shape us into the image of God. The image of his son. Amen? We have a new identity and we belong to a new family. So this morning, if you're confused about who you are, you have a new identity. If you feel isolated, if you feel separated from, you belong to a new family. In other words, I love our church because we are modeling the diversity in the body of Christ. Yes, look at you, and look at you, and look at you, and look at you. Even though we look different and we have different accents and we have different money in the bank and we drive different cars, guess what? When we come together at the cross, it's a level playing field. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up. Earlier we had looked at the temple. We had looked at the temple and we saw that because of our birth, we were outsiders. Because of our birth, we could not gain access to the holies of holies. But the Bible tells me that because of Jesus Christ, because of his death on the cross, now we who were afar off, we have been brought near. And I love what Jesus does because in him giving himself on the cross, guess what? We have a better temple. If you go to this location in Israel right now, this temple is no longer there. It was destroyed by the Roman government. But Jesus is still alive. Hello, somebody. We have a better temple. Not only do we have a better temple, but guess what? We have a better sacrifice. Yeah, whatever sacrifices I might have brought to God, it would have been blemished some way, somehow. It would have been defective some way, somehow. But Jesus Christ, because of his perfect fulfillment of the commands of God, guess what? He becomes the perfect sacrifice for us. But not only that, but in Jesus we find a better veil. A better veil. You see, in the temple, what separated the holy place from the most holies of holies was a veil. And the Bible tells me that on the night that Jesus died, that the veil in the temple, it split from top to bottom, showing that God's presence is now accessible by everyone. What I love about Jesus is that he becomes a better veil, because not only was his body torn in two so that we could have access to the very presence of God, but guess what? He covers us. You don't get it this morning. When I enter into the presence of God, God doesn't see you. He doesn't see me. He doesn't see you. He doesn't see you. No, he sees his son because he covers us. He covers us. And so this morning, we can look at our past and say, that was me. But I can look at my present and say, this is me because of God. But I can look forward to the future with hope because of who Jesus and what Jesus has done for me. Amen? Amen, somebody? Come on, if God is doing something in your heart and you resonate with that, come on, could you give him a clap offering even right now? Amen. Praise God. And with that, could we stand to our feet? Can I say to somebody, you are not a misfit? You are not an accident. God has a purpose for your life. God brought you here on purpose because he wants to change you. He wants to transform you. He wants to use you. You are not a misfit. Could it be you've been looking for satisfaction in all the wrong places? Could it be you've been trying to change who you are to fit into all these other places? But God has designed you in such a way that when you come into the family of God, you fit. You belong. There's a place for you here. Hello, somebody. Augustine says, my heart remains restless until it finds its rest in you. How can I gain access to the water of life? How can I gain access to the very thing that my soul needs? It's only by the blood of Jesus. We have been brought near. Amen? So let us rejoice because we have been brought near. Amen? Bow your heads with me. Can imagine that in a room this size, that there are some of us here, we're struggling with who we are. We're confused about who we are. We don't know if we're up or down. We don't know if we're in or we're out. We don't know if we just don't know, and we're confused. May I suggest to you this morning that once you've given your life to Jesus, that your identity in God is secure. There's some of us, we're struggling with sense of belonging, with a sense of fitting in. And we've changed ourselves so much that we don't even know who we are. Because culture is saying this and culture is saying that, and it keeps changing its mind and its attitude about things that we're supposed to be. But this morning, know that you belong in the family of God. If you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, you belong to a new family. And there's a place for you in the family of God. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word to our hearts this morning. I pray, oh God, that you will shore up who we are in you. That, God, we will surrender ourselves completely over to you this morning. That we will stop fighting the impression of your spirit. That we will stop resisting. But, God, that we will surrender. Because it's only in you that our soul can find rest. It's only in you that our soul can find a deeper satisfaction. So God, I ask that you will enter our hearts, you will enter our space, and that you will transform our hearts for your glory and for your purposes. God, for those of us here this morning that is struggling with loneliness, that is struggling with isolation, that is struggling with a sense of belonging, let this truth come alive in our hearts this morning, God, that we belong to a family of God. That we're not alone, but that through you and in you, we belong to a new community of believers. Father God, I thank you for your work in our hearts this morning as we tell you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor Greg.